Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, when the Burning Man project started, it was attended by a couple of dozen people. Today, it's a huge annual event with offshoot festivals all over the world, yet still it retains a uniqueness that no other event can match. And we're joined by one of the founders, Harley K. Dubois. Harley will be one of the speakers at the conference on festivals called Best in Fest Icon that takes place tomorrow in the Aviva Stadium. Harley, good afternoon to you.
Thank you for having me.
Describe Burning Man, because I did use the word festival there, but it's not a festival because we think a festival is to do with music or
right, such some like kind of programming or something like that. There's no programming. The only programming that happens at Burning Man is what people bring to it. We create a vessel and people bring the stuff to fill it. And I think the easiest way for me to contextualize it is to say it's kind of where things meet up, the crossroads between, say, science and art, or the crossroads between community building and governance and technology. You know, where do those things meet? And then what happens in those moments?
Right. I still have no idea what happens at Burning Man. Say, so it is in the desert, essentially.
In the middle of nowhere, two hours from Reno.
So if you're going to Burning Man, don't just roll up a sleeping bag and hope you can find a few chip vans when you arrive there. You have to bring everything you need.
Everything you need. Sleeping, earplugs are recommended, all of your own water, all your own food, everything you might want to have with you. And then it's nice to bring some extra things in case somebody else forgot something.
Right. And when you're there and when you're leaving, and this seems to be a very, very important thing, there aren't any trash cans there.
No, it's a pack it in, pack it out event. It's really like going desert backpacking, high desert backpacking. So anything, everything you need to bring, even if it's just the pit from the fruit you're eating, or a little bits of sparkle that fell off of your clothing, you need to pack it all up and pack it all out.
Yeah, and you have volunteers when the event is over who basically comb the sand looking for even tiny bits of refuse.
That's true, but we also ask every person that comes to spend 2 hours cleaning up their own spot before they leave, and we teach people how to do that. So everybody becomes their own Leave No Trace expert by the time they leave our event.
How is it regulated?
Well,
or is it regulated?
I would say the heaviest regulation comes peer-to-peer, that people expect others to know what to do and to behave properly, and they call themselves on it, which I think is lacking in our world today quite a bit. Everyone relies on law enforcement or somebody else to come in and tell people what to do, but there, people really care about the environment, they care about the way people behave there, and they call each other on it. Beyond that, of course, we're the largest users of the Bureau of Federal Land in the United States. The Bureau of Land Management is our landlord. We rent the land for the month, 5 weeks that we're there.
Mm. But would there be a shared set of values implicit in a lot of this?
Oh, yeah. We have what's called the 10 principles. They're not rules. They're not dogma. But they are concepts, ideas that hang together that when you look at them all together, they really do give you a sense of what the purpose of being there is, like a cultural sort of baseline. And it's something that's really helped us as we've expanded out around the globe.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, do many members of the KKK go to Burning Man?
They probably wouldn't find themselves fitting in very easily, although we are apolitical and everyone is welcome. One of our values is radical inclusion, so they'd be welcome. But I'm not sure how comfortable the KKK would feel at our event.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And obviously, climate change deniers probably wouldn't turn up in huge numbers either.
Well, no, I would beg to differ there. We have, if you look at our demographics, we have a real broad range of political spectrums. We're much older than people think. Most people come in their 30s. People are really educated that come, but they're really diverse. You can't really say this person goes to Burning Man and this person doesn't. You'd be really surprised to see who shows up.
Right. So you turn up in your RV, and then when you're exploring it, are there parts of the area where there are stands or demonstrations or singing and dancing and those kind of things? Are they laid out in a separate area, or can you just find them anywhere?
Well, over time, we have that's actually one of the things I contributed was zoning. It made sense to zone. People that really want to be loud 24/7, we put them at the edges of the city pointing their speakers out so that people who want to sleep can be in the middle of the city with less noise. We have more families now than we did in the very beginning. And so we have areas that are concentrating on keeping things family friendly. So the city is zoned, but you actually could stumble on anything anywhere, given that people come in and camp wherever they want to and meet up their friends. So it's more sort of, we call it riding the edge of chaos. That's the way we like to put it.
So you can't say, unlike a music festival, you can't turn up and then find out what the program of events are and say, oh, I want to see that, I want to see that, I want to see that. It's total happenstance.
Right. You just have to go with the flow and follow your nose, follow your ears, you know?
Yeah. But would people tell you in advance what they want to do? If, say, perhaps they might need an area for, if they
yes.
want to do something that involves music or dancing. Or
yeah, we have a whole placement process where people in advance, we have what we call theme camps. Theme camps are groups of people that organize themselves to bring something to the event, whatever it is. It could be music, it could be Christmas camp every day. And they ask to be placed. And then we look at how many people are coming and what they're doing and what the sound requirements are, or whether they're loud or quiet, or whether they're going to be 24/7 or not. And we give them placement based on how they're going to interact in the city. So basically, we curate the city with interesting concepts that other people are bringing.
Right. Okay. And could you give us an example what kind of concepts that we're talking about?
Well, as I already mentioned, we're known as for some people to be a rave, but I've never actually been to one of the raves at Burning Man in all of my 28 years. The themes range from something like bowling camp, where someone brings bowling. Maybe they're flaming bowling balls. And so in the middle of the night, you might be rolling flaming bowling balls. During the day, you can find mist shade structures. But the more interesting things are things that really ask you to engage or engage with other people. Maybe it's spin the wheel and you have to do a dance. And if you do a dance, then you get something. The themes are actually pretty spectacular, and they vary so greatly that they're as diverse as probably our world is these days. Very simple to very complicated different kinds of concepts. And the size of the groups range from, say, 10 people to 600 people. So what people can pull off in larger scale is different than what people in smaller scale can do.
And one of the things that's very interesting about it is, in as far as is possible, you've tried to keep commercialization out of it.
And we have totally kept commercialization out of it. I wouldn't be involved if it was. That's one of the beautiful things about Burning Man, is when you take out the notion that somebody is asking you for something for a reason, or someone's going to come up to you and engage with you because they want something, it changes the way you exchange, the way you behave with somebody. So we are a totally non-commercial event that sort of preserves the space for people to experiment with who they are and what they find interesting and find out more about themselves and the people around them without having to worry about whether it's going to cost them money or whether someone's going to try to ask them to do something that they're not interested in doing.
So it seems to be part of the experience that you walk around Burning Man and people just give you stuff.
Yes, one of our principles is gifting. It's not bartering, which is often confused, but gifting purely. When you barter, you want something in exchange. When you give a gift, you give it because you expect nothing in return. So the act of giving becomes something that's really fulfilling, and you kind of get addicted to it. And I think that's one of the things people take away with them. They go back to the regular world and they're like, why aren't people nicer to each other? Let me give that person a hand on the side of the road, or let me help that person, you know, pick that bag up. It's something that I think people get addicted to.
How many people were at the last one?
75,000.
Crikey, as it gets bigger and bigger in terms of organizing, you know, infrastructure or even laying out the city, that becomes a more complicated job.
No, we've been doing this for 30 years now. We can pretty much handle anything you throw at us. The size is good right now, and we're actually sticking with this size approximately from year to year. There is something that happens, I think, when you get 75,000 people together in the middle of nowhere for an entire week. There's an opportunity for some people to, like, maybe become like you'll find at some perhaps other festivals. They become anonymous. But when people really involved in their community and they stay engaged, we find that people really become a part of the community and start participating. So 75,000 we found is a good number for that. If we start growing too fast over that, I think we might run into a little tipping point there. So we're pretty happy where we are right now.
And say that the burning is the Burning Man part of it, if you know what I mean. Is that an event for everybody? Is that,
oh,
if you like, the climax?
Yeah, it is. Well, some would say it's the climax. It's on Saturday night, and the event technically ends on Sunday night. We do it on Saturday night so people can actually get in their cars and go home and not have such a drastic return home. But that is the point when everyone gathers together, and you'll have 70,000 people around the edifice of the man. There's hardly any perimeter. There's just people standing there saying, "Hey, please don't come any further. It's for your own safety." We don't. It's not like a big police force. It's not heavily regulated. People are just smart, and they listen to rules because they make sense. If you get too close, you're going to get hurt. You know. And the man burns together, and everyone celebrates together on the Saturday evening.
Does the Burning Man have a meaning?
The Burning Man's meaning is whatever you bring to it. I think the meaning of Burning Man is that when you give somebody the opportunity or the gift to be able to see how they fit into the greater context, as an individual, how do you fit into the greater context or the greater whole? You're one person standing there with 75,000 other people watching this thing burn. What does it mean for you? And for a lot of people, it means an awful lot. So I think it's very individualistic. There's no intended meaning. There's no thing other than people seem to resonate with burning, and they seem to resonate with the burning of a man.
That last bit was kind of sinister. Does the design of the man change every year?
Mostly no. Yes, there's definitely a footprint or a fingerprint based on whoever built it that year, but the design pretty much stays the same. It was created by Larry Harvey, who's there's six of us founders. He's the visionary, the person who really started it all, and he came up with the design.
Yeah, how big is it?
40 feet high. Well, okay, it's 40 feet high when it's standard, although 2 years ago we started making the Mega Man. And I think instead of having like a big art project that the man stood on top of, so it might be 40 feet of art project based on a theme and then 40 feet on top of it, the man himself became 80 feet. This year he'll go back to 40 feet on top of an art project. So he does vary from year to year, but generally standard, he's 40 feet tall.
That's still a hell of a lot of Burning Man. Frank says the air, which is actually true if you can Google this, the aerial views are incredible and for an OCD person, so satisfying. How do they get set up so perfectly? Not the point to it, I know, but it's a fair feat.
We use a transit and we put a golden spike right where the man's going to stand. And from that transit, we draw radial lines out. Our radial streets in our city are the face of the clock. They start at 2 o'clock on one side. They go around to 10 o'clock at the other side. And that's between 2 and 10 is where the people will live in a horseshoe shape. And then based on that, those radial lines that go out from the transit, we then do the circumferential roads that go from A to, I think we're up to H now. So you can find yourself in the city. If you get disoriented, I'm at 3 o'clock in H. It's easier to find your
all right. Yeah. Is that it when people get their tickets? Is there kind of a leaflet explaining that to them, or do they have to figure it out themselves, or how does that work?
They do have to figure it out themselves. However, we have a really extensive website. We do send out a survival guide that tells you how to survive at Burning Man. And then as you come in, after you've gone through the gate process, we have what we call greeters who are there to answer any questions that you might have to help you really get set up once you're there.
Yeah. And is everybody who works in it a volunteer?
We have, I mean, it's hard to quantify, but I would say at least 10,000 volunteers pulling shifts to make the event happen. We only have 60 year-round full paid employees, and the rest of it is all volunteer driven. We have a database with over 40,000 volunteers in it, and we're driven almost primarily by volunteers and volunteerism.
Paudy says, "I've been to Burning Man 3 times. I've honestly had the best times of my life there. I met my wife there too. The first time I learned the hard way about travelling there and I ran out of water too, but the third time lucky, and I can't wait for it this year. It's just an incredible experience. I would recommend everyone go." Says Paudy. S says, "I hope there are loos there. I wouldn't want to be bringing that home." There aren't, are there?
That's the one thing we do provide. We have over 1,500 porta potties there.
Okay, that's a bit of a stretch for the volunteers there when it comes to cleaning.
Yeah, that we contract out.
Right. Okay, that's good to know. The thing is, though, as you said, you know, most people are sensible, but there's always the occasional idiot who might want to stand too close to the Burning Man or might take too much of whatever. Mm-hmm. I assume there is some sort of facility set up to kind of help those people.
We're actually so highly organized. We are set up for every possible scenario that you could possibly imagine. We have a state-of-the-art hospital there. We have over 900 volunteer rangers who are conflict resolution mediators there to assist people. We have a wonderful medical team of volunteers. On and on. We have every resource you could a crisis intervention team in case somebody suffer some kind of disaster and is mentally like not in a great space. You would not believe the kind of resources we've been able to develop over time.
Paul says, "I'm the Irish regional contact for Burning Man. Can you say hi to me?"
Oh,
so, hi, Paul.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
If there's an Irish regional contact for Burning Man, does that mean there might be a Burning Man in Ireland at some stage?
Well, it's up to you guys.
Oh, stop making us do things. That's such a pain. As you're saying, Harley will be speaking at the Aviva tomorrow. That's Thursday, the April the 27th, for Best in Fest Icon. Harley, thank you very much for coming into us today.
Thank you for having me.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.